Our first reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 35 to 39, reading from the New International Version. At this point in the story, Jesus is gathering disciples, and they are overnighting at Simon and Andrew's house. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and they found him. They exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That's why I have come." So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Our second reading is from Corinthians, chapter 14, verses 18 to 25. "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, 'With other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even when they will not listen to me,' says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, 'God is really among you.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mark. Let us pray. God, we come to you this morning in worship, seeking not just to speak to you, but to listen for you. Help us through this time to hear your voice, to hear your message for us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So you may or may not have noticed, depending on whether you look at the bulletin or not, but I called this series Practice Makes Perfect. And I did that based on something Jesus says in Matthew during his Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, if you're anything like me, that word perfect is a little scary, right? I know I'm not perfect. I would judge that none of you are, although if you feel different, you can let me know. We can have that chat. But what's interesting is the word that we translate as perfect in Greek is teleos. So if you're familiar with philosophy, teleology is the study or an argument based on a purpose or a goal. So that word really means more than perfect as in never making a mistake. It means complete. It means fulfilled, right? It's about a goal coming to completion would be something that would be teleos. So when we talk about being perfect, we don't mean not making mistakes. We mean becoming whole, becoming complete. And spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices are one of the ways that we can become more complete, more whole, more in line with God, with Jesus. And so the idea of practice makes perfect is that spiritual practices can help us be more complete and more whole with God. And so far, we've talked about fasting as a way to do that, and we've talked about prayer. And as I said with the kids, prayer, if it's a conversation with God, should be a two-way street. So last week, we mostly talked about our words to God, ways that we can communicate with God. But today, we're talking about how we can make space for God to communicate back. How can we hear God's voice? Because, of course, talking to God is not like talking to your friends or your family, right? If I'm talking to Diana, hopefully I can hear her responses to me. It's a conversation in that way. But with God, there are some people who hear a distinct voice when God speaks to them. But more often, God speaks through other means, through a piece of scripture that particularly touches you, through the words of other people, through the things that you see or observe or hear in music or nature or in other places. So God can talk in a variety of ways, but the trick is we have to be ready to listen, right? Just like if I'm running around my house with my fingers in my ear going la 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 la, doesn't matter who's talking to me, I'm not going to hear what they say. And that glitter in that container is sometimes that la la la, whether it's in our heads or around us, in the busyness of our activity, whatever that might be, that noise can get in the way. And so we need tools to be able to find ways to quiet that noise. Some of us, that's easier than others, but I think all of us need it at one time or another. When I was in university, I did something I never thought I would do. I went on a silent retreat. It was a full weekend. No talking. We had a small introduction at the beginning. I think we got 1 hour on Saturday night. And maybe a little bit of debrief Sunday afternoon before we headed home. And that was it. It was about 36 hours of no talking in a monastery. Some of you, maybe that sounds like heaven. Some of you, maybe that sounds like a nightmare. I was somewhere in between. But what captured me about that time, and at first it was very uncomfortable, and I had no idea what I was going to do with all that time. I didn't have a cell phone. This was before the days of smartphones, before the days of widespread internet, before any of those things, and we were in a space that didn't have access to that sort of thing anyway. I didn't have music to listen to on headphones. It was just me in the quiet. But I remember coming out of that weekend with this incredible sense of peace, this settledness in my soul that I think I desperately needed and wasn't even aware of until I finally received it. We were talking, I think at Bible study recently, about when the last time was that you spent time in quiet and stillness. For some of us, it was fairly recent. Some people couldn't think of a time where they'd sat for more than half an hour when they weren't asleep. We live in a busy world. This week, I was about to get into my car after my swim, and the sunlight hit me. And I was like, oh, that sunlight's so nice. I don't really want to get in my car right away. And then I was like, wait, I don't have to get in my car right away. And I just stood outside my car in the parking lot, closed my eyes, and let the sun hit me. I don't know if people thought I was a little bit nuts if they were walking by. But it was a moment just to calm my soul, to settle myself before I went on with what came next. Sometimes we don't feel like we can give ourselves permission to do that. And so I find Jesus' story and the examples in the book of Mark really interesting. Because Mark, if you want a busy gospel, read the first half of the book of Mark. Because he covers 3 years in like 8 chapters. It is go, 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 go. And then Jesus went here, and then Jesus went here, and then he did this, and then he did that, and then he went there. But in the middle of it, you find these tiny little passages, like the one Mark read for us this morning. Early in the morning, Jesus went to a solitary place to pray. Jesus had 3 years to accomplish everything he had to accomplish on earth. 3 years. And he regularly stopped just to pray, just to listen for a moment. How would you live if you knew you only had 3 years or 4 years? That's a very personal question for some of you. For some of us, it's hard to imagine. We feel like there's so much on our plates. There's so much we have to do. There's so many responsibilities. We can get overwhelmed. And how do we manage to stop? How can I possibly stop with all of the things I have to do? And yet that's exactly what Jesus did. And if you read this whole section, right before this, Jesus has called his disciples. He's healed a whole bunch of people. He's healed a whole bunch more people. And then he rests. And then he heals some more people, and he calls some more disciples, and he keeps going and moving. And it's interesting because it says the disciples came looking for Jesus. But really what the Greek says is they were hunting for him. They were panicking because they couldn't find Jesus, and there were all these people, and all they wanted to do was hear Jesus or be healed by Jesus or talk to Jesus. And Jesus, where are you? They come running, frantic. Where are you, Jesus? All these people, they need to see you. Maybe they're really excited. It's working. It's coming. Jesus, they want to see you. They want to hear you. Isn't this exciting, Jesus? And Jesus says, walk with me. Travel with me. Let's go somewhere else. I'm not going to be in the crowds right now. This is not what I'm being called to do. Those people, they're excited about the miracles that I am doing. But they've heard the message. If they're going to listen to the message, they've heard it. There are other people I need to talk to. I need to be about my Father's business. That's what Jesus is talking about. See, that time in the solitude, it grounded him. It helped remind him of his mission, of what was important, of where God was calling him to be. When it says Jesus goes into a solitary place, it's the same word that's used when Jesus goes into the desert to be tempted. And this, in some ways, is another temptation, right? Jesus, you're famous. Come receive the adulation. Come receive the glory of the crowds. And Jesus chooses instead to move on. Perhaps that's what the word that he heard from God as he was there in that solitary place. Go. It's time to move. And Jesus listened. So, it's hard for us to do that. But there are so many tools that we can use that will help. So when you came in today, you hopefully received a piece of paper like this that says finger labyrinth on it. If you didn't get one, you can put your hand up and Teresa will come around and bring you one. But this is a tool that you can use to help focus your attention. So I don't know, has anybody here walked a labyrinth before? There's a few of you. Okay, there's one up at Gracefield. So if you want to check out a labyrinth, you can go to Gracefield. It's a little weeded over, but you can make it. No? Clean now? It's all good now. Oh, they got it cleaned. I love it. But not all of us have access to a labyrinth we can walk. It takes up a big amount of space. And so a finger labyrinth is one that you can take on your way. And the way a finger labyrinth works, the same way as a walking one, except you use your finger instead of using your feet. And the idea is you start with maybe a little piece of scripture or a question that you have for God, or some people might repeat similar words over and over, right? The Lord is God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus my Savior, things that allow you to kind of, again, it settles the glitter, if you will, in your mind, to focus on something. And what you do is, as you think about what it is you're thinking about, whether it's a question or something, you take your finger and you slowly follow it from the bottom where the path opens, all the way around. And eventually, what's interesting about a labyrinth is you think that you're going straight into the middle. And then all of a sudden you find yourself on the outside. And you keep following it around. And then you're like, oh, I'm going into the middle again. And you start to get closer. And then, oh, I'm in the middle. No, I'm not in the middle. And I head out again. And I go around till I get to the middle. And in the middle, you're invited to just pause for as long as you need, with your finger there and your thoughts open to what God has to say. And when you feel like you're ready, you then trace the route out again, the same route that you came in. And perhaps on the way out, you might focus on thanks for what you've heard or for that moment of quiet. On the way out, you might ask what God wants you to do next, or you might continue to think about the same thing you were thinking on the way in. And it might take you 60 seconds to trace this. It might take you 10 minutes. You take it at your own speed, but it gives you a moment just to rest, to allow the glitter to settle, to allow the other things to fade away, to give God an opportunity to speak. Because the thing is there are consequences to not listening to God, to being so busy that we forget to pause and to reflect. And I think that's part of what was happening in the church in Corinth. And Paul wants to speak to them. So he's talking, people often talk about the spiritual gift of glossolalia, which is speaking in tongues. And I want to be very clear, Paul is not saying don't speak in tongues. Paul is not saying speaking in tongues is a bad thing or what have you. But he's saying the way the Corinthians were speaking in tongues was damaging. They were so excited about this new faith that they had. I wonder if part of what excited them was they actually got to talk directly to God. How cool! Because all of the faiths at the time, basically, there was some intermediary. If you wanted to talk to Yahweh, you went to the priests. You gave a sacrifice if you were Jewish. And if you weren't Jewish, but you wanted to talk to Yahweh, there was only so far you could go in the temple. If you worshiped the Greek gods or the Roman gods, you needed to go to the temple. You needed to make an offering. Right? They had priests there too. They had special ceremonies so that you could get your petition heard. And now all of a sudden, because of Jesus, Paul's like, you can dispense with all of that. God wants to hear from you directly. Jesus tore that curtain apart. You can talk to God directly. How exciting! And so they started talking to God. And this sign that they were connected to God, that the Holy Spirit had come on them, was amazing, right? The disciples, the very first instance that we see of the Holy Spirit after Jesus is resurrected is on Pentecost. And all of the disciples, all of the leaders that this church now look up to, they all spoke in tongues so that people around them could hear them even though they didn't know those languages. We can do this too. How exciting! We're talking, and yeah, nobody really understands what we're saying. It's a little different from the disciples. But look how holy I am. And this is where it starts to turn. Look how great I am. Look how much God loves me. Look how much I can speak in tongues. And as far as we can tell, what was happening is they were interrupting each other. And there were a whole bunch of people all trying to speak in tongues at once. Listen to me. No, listen to me. Look at all these wonderful things that are going on. And it was a mess. It was chaos. And the people who couldn't speak in tongues had no idea what was going on. Perhaps the people speaking in tongues had no idea really what was going on. All they knew was that the Spirit was on them, and that was good. And Paul's like, okay, guys, I can do this too. I can speak in tongues. But I would rather give 5 words of prophecy than a whole long speaking in tongues when we're in worship together. Because when you speak in tongues, yep, you're being a sign to the unbelievers, but maybe the wrong sign. Because they walk into worship and they hear all this crazy stuff going on and they think you're nuts. But they hear just one or two words with conviction, and their hearts will be changed. When we're together in worship, we need to calm down a little. We need to have space. So that when somebody speaks, people can listen and understand and receive the word of God. Because what was happening was that God was getting a little lost in all of the amazing things that were happening. There was competition. People were feeling excluded. New believers of the faith were getting turned off. And although certainly in the Presbyterian Church, we don't have a history of glossolalia as a spiritual gift in worship, doesn't mean we can't do the same thing. Get so caught up in what we're doing and what we think is right and where we need to go that we forget to stop and to listen for God's voice and to make sure everyone is coming along with us. So my encouragement to you this week is to try a new spiritual practice that will allow you to listen to God. Take your finger labyrinth home, or the little glitter, not many people have glitter at home, but stare at something that's moving, that allows you to maybe disconnect a bit from the crazy thoughts. Have a simple scripture verse that you've memorized. Maybe the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And say it over and over again as a way to calm yourself and see what God is saying to you. Because he does have a message for you. And it is good. Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you that you desire to talk to us. Help us, God, to take a moment to listen, to hear your voice. Help us to be still in faith. Thank you for the way that you talk to us all the time. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are going to continue in prayer with our community prayer. And so what we're going to do is it's a little bit interactive. So after little bits of the prayer, I am going to say the words, Lord, in your mercy, and you respond with, hear our prayer. Okay? So we're just going to try that once. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Perfect. Let us pray. Loving God, in Jesus Christ, you teach us to pray and to present our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love for all. Gracious God, you have called together a people to be the church of Jesus Christ. May your people be one in faith and discipleship, breaking bread together and telling good news so that the world may believe you are love, turn to your ways, and live in the light of your truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, you made all things and called them good. May your planet Earth be held in reverence by all people. May its resources be used wisely and its fragile balance between life and death respected. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal ruler, in your mighty realm, the nations rise and fall. Hear our prayers for those who govern, that they may learn wisdom and truth, establish justice and mercy, and seek the ways of peace. We pray particularly for the ongoing war in Ukraine and for the many people displaced by war and persecution around the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we lift up to you prayers and situations that hit close to home this morning. We thank you for the ministry of Gracefield, and we pray for the campers and the staff that will be coming this summer, as well as those coming for retreats and for family vacations and for other reasons throughout the year. We thank you for Mark and for the work that he does, for his call to the camp and for his desire to listen to you. We pray that his work and the work of the staff will be blessed, and that everyone who comes to Gracefield will experience your presence. God, we want to lift up those who are experiencing conflict with family or friends right now, that that would be settled, that we would be able to come together. Again, we pray for those in the last stages of their life, those who are precariously housed or have no homes at all. God, bring them mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ. Amen.